Good morning, everyone, and welcome again out into the Australian bush. Well, it's been a sad weekend as all of us woke up to the news on Friday morning that Queen Elizabeth had died. I believe that her death will affect many people, not only because she was the queen, but because of who she was, the life that she lived. I believe that she was generally a good person, and her motives were clear. You see, it was honor, integrity, and commitment to a cause. I personally believe that the Queen knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and one of these days we'll have an opportunity to meet the Queen. But only after we meet the King of all the universe. So now for just a moment, I just want to observe a moment's silence in remembrance of the Queen. Now, I want to turn the page and get into our topic today. Let me ask you a question. How will you respond if something big happens in your life and it just seems that God doesn't make sense? Well, perhaps you've lost a long-term job, or perhaps your health has fallen apart, or your family has busted up. And then you've searched the scriptures, you've prayed and prayed and prayed, and you've looked for encouragement, and it just seems like that God is silent. How are you going to respond? Well, I believe that there are three very distinct ways that we can respond, and today we're going to talk about those three ways. But first, we will pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the example the Queen has left for us of integrity and tenacity and gentleness. Thank you for her example. Now, Father, as we focus on our subject today, all of us are at one time or another going to be faced with something in our life that just does not make sense. And we do know there's going to be those times when heaven is silent. How are we going to respond to that? Father, help us to understand what our options are. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, how will you respond when something major hits your life and God just doesn't make sense? We may even turn to God and say, God, what are you doing? Unfortunately, God just may remain silent. He's not duty-bound to explain why he does what he does. Well, at that point, the first thing we could do is get angry and walk away. There's a lot of people doing that today. I had a friend who early on had some twin boys, and unfortunately, one of those boys died. This hurt. As you might expect, it broke him. And he went to his religious leader and said, "Why did God take my boy?" His religious leader said, "It was God's will." Well, we know the truth of that comment, but I question the timing of when it was presented. But anyway, my friend got angry, said, "If that's God, I want no part of him." He turned, walked away, and he walked away from his faith for the vast majority of his life. We can do that when something major happens that just doesn't make sense, and it seems like, God, I don't understand you. We can do that. Next, we can trust God completely with what's happening, and that was Job's story. We know Job to be one of the wealthiest men of his day, but then he lost his family, he lost his cattle, he lost his wealth, and then he lost his health. Everything fell apart. And even his wife told him, curse God and die. Well, let me ask you, what would you do? You see, Job struggled. He even cursed the day he was born. It was a real thing for Job. But the Bible says not once did he accuse God for what was going on. Well, as you know the story, God eventually restored completely everything he lost and blessed him more than he had ever been blessed before in the past. God, in fact, does that sometimes, but that's up to God. But finally, there's a third way that I want to look at. I want you to go with me to Ruth chapter 1. Now, most of the time when we read the book of Ruth, we follow Ruth's story. But there's someone else in this book, particularly in chapter number 1, that we're going to look at her story, and her name is Naomi. So let's read her story, Ruth 1, verses 1 through 5. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Tragedy begins to hit. And she was left with her two sons. But now they took two wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years in Moab. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman, or Naomi, survived her two sons and her husband. Naomi was understandably devastated. Everything fell apart for her. She could very easily begin questioning right here. So now let's look a little deeper into her story. Now, Naomi and Elimelech chose to leave Bethlehem in Judea. Bethlehem is known as the house of bread. And they went to Moab. Now, historically, they had better options. They could have gone to other places in Judah that had good harvest going on, but they chose to go to Moab. Can anyone see something wrong with that choice of destination? You see, throughout the Old Testament, God had warned the Jews to stay away from Moab and the Moabites. You see, the Moabites were the result of an incestuous relationship between Lot and one of his daughters. They were always on the outside of God's blessings. They were a godless society and into idol worship. They had gods other than their God. But Naomi and Elimelech made the decision and moved away from God's blessing and moved right into a place where God said, don't go there. Direct disobedience. You ever done that in your life? Perhaps you're there right now. You know, this could have been the decision that cost Naomi her husband and her two sons. Listen, everybody, I want you to get this. When you move away from God, you're going in the wrong direction, and it could cost you. You see, the Bible says that God is jealous of his children, and he's even said that he will chastise or correct those that he loves. That could be what's happening to Naomi. You see, Jonah learned that the same thing in the belly of a whale. You don't go away from God and get by with it. Something else I want you to look at. Naomi's two sons married women from Moab. Now keep it in mind, God had completely forbade the intermarrying of Jews and Moabites, and that's what they did. So here we go again. Naomi's two sons died. Then Naomi hears that God has blessed his people with another good harvest. Naomi chooses to return to the place of God's blessings. Naomi chooses to return to a place which she should have never, ever left. God could have looked after them in his land, but she and Elimelech chose to go to Moab. So Naomi encouraged her daughter-in-laws to return to the house of their mothers, but Ruth chose to go with her, and that's where Ruth made that famous statement that all of us know, and you'll find that Ruth chapter 1, verse number 16. But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you will go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Ruth stayed with Naomi. So Naomi and Ruth set out for Bethlehem. When they arrived, we discovered just how Naomi was feeling about herself. Look at verse number 19. So they both went into until they came to Bethlehem. And it came about when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" Now catch this. Were they saying, "Is this what's left of the Naomi that we knew? She had so much when she left, but now, is this really Naomi?" Her response to them was this, verses 20 and 21. But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" She went from Naomi, which means pleasantness, to Mara, which means bitter. You can feel her weight. But she knew exactly where her pain and suffering came from, as she said, "The Almighty has afflicted me." One translation said, "The Lord has raised his fist against me." She knew exactly that it was God that judged her. So now, she has no husband. She's an older woman. She has no sons. No real future. Her story is done, right? No, I don't think God is done with Naomi. You see, God does chastise or correct his children, but he is also a God of grace. Let me explain. You remember Ruth, the woman from Moab? Well, also remember that Moabites were outside of God's blessings. But in this case, Ruth, the Moabite woman, marries a close family member of Naomi's named Boaz, and they have a son together that changed Naomi's life. Listen to what the village women are now saying. Ruth chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel," if they only knew. "And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Do you happen to know the boy's name? Well, his name was Obed, the grandfather of King David. But not only that, King David was an ancient ancestor of Jesus the Messiah, and all Jewish families wanted to be in the family lineage of Messiah. So you see, God redeemed a bad decision on the part of Naomi and her husband. And he blessed them. Even though they made a conscious mistake, Naomi turned around, came back to the place where she had left God, and God redeemed her, restored her, and blessed her. God still is a great redeemer. And today, listen, have you turned and walked away from God? If you have, you know you have. God has made sure that you're aware of that. Holy Spirit's already prompted you. If you've walked away from God, you know that things are beginning to get difficult. Let me encourage you to turn around and come back to that place where you left God. God can turn brokenness into wholeness. He can turn bitterness back to joy. But right now, I believe God is waiting and watching. He's waiting and watching for those who have chosen to walk away from His best, to come back home. And He can and will accept, restore, and redeem. I ask you today, give Him a chance. Is He waiting on you? Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the clarity of what happened in the book of Ruth. Father, help us if we have moved away and those who have left you standing, waiting, watching, they've left you by their own choice. Father, I pray that they will return. And I know what you do, you'll do. You'll run to them, as Jesus said, and you'll restore them. I pray today for those who walked away that they'll come home. In Jesus' name, amen.